Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to James chapter 2. In verse 23, the Word of God says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. There's two things here. If I believe God, that is to say, if I trust God, that is the source of me being right before Him. Young people, I want you to understand something. Whether you're right before God is not dependent on whether you're a good boy or girl or a bad boy or girl. It's not dependent on how you perform. It's not dependent on how well you do. It's dependent on, do you trust Him? The funny thing about trusting Him is that by itself will bring all the other things we desire in our lives. But if I don't trust Him, all the other stuff, I might be able to try it, but I won't be able to keep it up. But if I trust Him, then I'm not actually trying to keep up anything. I'm simply responding to somebody that I trust. And then my entire life gets right with God. If you trust God, you might be rejected by people. Jesus was rejected by people. I mean, He was God and He was rejected. So don't be too upset or disappointed if people reject you because you trust Him. That may happen to you. Maybe they won't. Maybe you're around other people who trust God and those types of people will love you and accept you. But the worldly people, the ungodly people, they may reject you simply because you've trusted God. When that happens, don't sweat it. Just don't worry about it. Recognize something. If I am the king's son, and somebody is not related to the king at all, then what am I worrying about with that other person? Well, you are the children of the king. You don't need to worry about other people. Yes, if your teachers tell you to do something and all that, yes, you do it. That's part of trusting God and responding to God because God says to honor those people. But if somebody doesn't like the fact that you're a believer and you're going to stick up for what you believe and you're going to live in it, and they have a problem with it, then they just have a problem. And you're not that problem. No, you continue in what you know is right because you trust God. When you trust God, everything in your life falls into place the way it ought to be. That's the first thing it's saying. And then there's another thing that it's saying here. When you trust God, you become God's friend. Now, it's one thing for God to be friendly toward me, but you know you can be friendly toward God also. You trust Him and all of a sudden God says, hey, that's my friend over there. You know how special and important your friends are to you in your life? Like you look so forward to seeing them. You go to school and you wouldn't really much like being in school perhaps, except that your friends are there. What's everybody's favorite time in school? Lunch. Why? Because they get to hang out with their friends. If you trust God, God considers that to be a very friendly thing toward Him. And He counts you as one of His friends. Now, the Bible tells us, don't look for too many people to be your friends. And I'll tell you right now, guys, and this isn't bleak. This is actually a good thing. There's a whole lot of people out there, but not too many of them know how to be friends. And so don't look to them to be your friends. The Bible says, if a man wants to have many friends, the way it's translated is not correct. It says that person has to prove himself friendly. That's not what it actually says. It means that person has to compromise in order to keep those friends. If you have to compromise to keep those friends, they're not friends. By definition, they're not friends. Why? Because a friend loves at all times. If you trust God, God will say, that person is my friend. Now, that's a really kind of special place to be. In Genesis 18:7, Abraham trusted God. And God said about Abraham, am I going to hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Abraham's my friend. I'm not going to hide from my friend what I'm doing. So God actually enjoys showing us things when he considers us to be his friends. And when he does consider us to be his friends, he does show us things. You ever notice that not everything perhaps, but a lot of things, you like telling your friends about them? What happened yesterday? Well, I got to play whatever, Minecraft. I got to play Minecraft yesterday because I really like Minecraft and it was so much fun, and now I get to tell my friends about it. And you enjoy telling them about it. God is saying the same thing here. Am I going to hide from Abraham what I am doing? Abraham is my friend. I'm going to go and I'm going to tell Abraham all about it because he's my friend. And I like talking to my friend. We often think about talking to God, and that's prayer. You know, God may sometimes like talking to us, and he does. In John chapter 10, he says we hear his voice, we recognize it. It's not that we have to try to hear his voice, and it's not that we have to try to recognize his voice. No, we automatically recognize it, and when he says something, we'll hear it. Be careful about this one thing. Sometimes people make this mistake. They ask God, and then they try to hear. Let me ask you a question. How much effort are you putting into hearing me? No, all you're doing is listening. But by virtue of the way your ears work, you can hear me. You don't have to have any effort in that at all. You can hear me because of the way your ears work. That's just what they do. Well, that's like us. You don't have to have any effort to hear from God. You just are made to be able to. So when God speaks to you, when God shows you something, you'll know it. Now, a lot of times he shows us things not so much by speaking to us with a voice. That voice is not audible. It's not something that you can hear with the ears. You can hear it in your heart, though. It's one of those things you just know you heard from God. Just the way that listening to me, you know you're hearing my voice. In your heart, you know when you hear from God. And you don't have to worry about making that happen. The point is this. He'll speak to you. He'll reveal things to you. He'll get very close to you when you trust him. Because he considers you to be his friend. And as his friend in Proverbs 17:17, he does love you at all times. That means you're going to be loved by God on your good days and on your bad days. You're going to be loved by God whether you ace the exam or whether you fail it. You're going to be loved by God whether you're doing great that day and you're feeling well and everything is just perfect, or whether it's the worst day of your life. You're going to be loved by God equally at every moment, because a friend loves at all times. So God will love you at all times. And then it continues, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, who's closer to you? Are your friends closer to you, or are your brothers and sisters closer to you? What do you think? Brothers and sisters, of course. Well, you live with them. They're there all the time. They're like your friends in the house all the time. They have no choice but to be your friends because you are part of the same family. And if there's a healthy family, then your brothers and your sisters are like your best friends. And even your best friend, they're welcome, you love them and all that, but it's still not the same as your brother or sister. A friend can become, with God, a brother. In Romans 8:29, in the second half of that verse, Jesus was the firstborn of many brothers. Now, when it says brothers, talking about sisters also, it doesn't make the difference between male and female, right? Brothers and sisters. But Jesus was the one who was born first of many brothers and sisters. When do you become family to God? In that sense. When there's difficulty. Adversity means difficulty. When things are difficult, when they're hard, that's when God really shows himself to be your friend, and that's where you get the opportunity, the chance to show God you're his friend. Sometimes when things get hard, people can blame God. Well, if God did something about it, this wouldn't be so hard. And what they're actually saying is, I'm not really God's friend. I want a one-way street with God. I want him to do for me, but I don't want to give anything back. That's not a great thing. With God, we want a two-way friendship. God is going to be kind to us, and we're going to be kind to God. And when things get hard, that's when kindness really shows up. I've never seen a time when things get hard that God wasn't really very kind to me. And the same is going to be true for your lives. If you ever encounter times in your life, and a lot of people do, but they don't last forever, they only last for a short period of time, that things get really hard, God will be really kind to you in those things. Because they're hard. And He feels whatever you're feeling. He understands you. He gets it. And He wants you to feel better. He wants to make things better when He can, if it's not necessary to develop something in you. And then when He develops it, He'll make you feel better. Well, God wants the same thing from us. God wants friends too. And when things get hard, we don't turn around and blame God. We turn around and come to Him and we tell Him all about it, just the way that we would tell our friend all about it. It's one of the things that God loved about Moses. The Bible says in Exodus that Moses talked to God like a man talks to his friend. So you sit down over a pizza and you start talking. Well, you know you can do that with God. Get a pizza, sit down, you get to eat the whole thing, and just start talking, and you can even do it without the pizza. Just sit down and start talking, and tell Him about your problems. Tell Him about your day. Tell Him, hey, this was awesome. I played Minecraft today, and I dumped my friend in the hole, and I ran. So your thing is, I don't actually know what that means. I've never played Minecraft. But I believe it. And tell Him that. He wants to hear that. He considers that to be very friendly toward Him. He enjoys it. Oh, this person's my friend. They trust me enough to tell me their things. And then also tell them things that are going wrong. Don't just tell them the things that are going wrong. Tell them the things that are going right, too. He wants to hear all of them. Both. He wants to hear all of it. You feel tired? Don't hesitate to tell God, I'm tired today. You tell somebody sitting next to you, oh, I'm tired today. They're just going to look at you like, yeah. But God can actually make things better. God can actually help you with that. He can actually give you energy. And He does that. It's called quickening. He can actually give you those things. Whatever it is, positive, negative, you like it, you don't like it, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just tell God about it. Because that's what friends do. A friend will tell you about it. Now, some things I know among friends you hold back sometimes because you know it may not be great to tell people everything. But with God, that part isn't true. With God, you don't have to hold anything back. With a friend, you might hold back because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Or maybe there's something that is private. And, okay, you're my friend, but this is private, and so I can't tell you about it because it's private. And that's good to do with people. It's not good to do with God. With people, I don't tell anybody the private things. With God, I tell Him everything. Because with God, nothing's private. He sees you all the time. Nothing is private with God. So I don't have to worry about keeping things private with God. And the nice thing is, He gets it. He understands. He knows what I mean. He knows how I feel. He knows what I'm trying to say. There's never a time when there's going to be any misunderstanding with God. He gets it. So you can tell Him because He's your friend. He loves you. He cares about you. He is your friend. And because He's your friend, in Hebrews 13, in verse 5, He says, I will not in any way fail you. So God's not going to fail you. I'm not going to give you up. I'm not going to leave you without support, without help. I will not. And then this is how He puts it. I will not. I will not. I will not. 7 times. I will not in any degree, in any way, leave you helpless or forsake you, that is to say, abandon you, go away from you, or let you down. And then he says, I promise you, I will not. Why? Because he's your friend, even if you're not his friend, he's still your friend. But what he would love is for that to be two-way. That he would be your friend and you would be his friend also. That's what he desires from you. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.